Thank you for joining us again today. And I say us because if you were with us last time, then you know I'm having a discussion with my good friend, Dr. Brent Fulton. Brent is the president of China Source and author of China's Urban Christians, A Light That Cannot Be Hidden. And we're going to get into the book as soon as we can. But I really want Brent to just talk to us a little bit about who he is, and particularly who he is as a Christ follower. I also want to let you know that China Source, the organization that Brent is the president of, which he will tell us more about, I promise, has a website. It's an outstanding website, especially if you want to know more about the nation of China. And the web address for that is chinasource.org. Let me spell it, China, C-H-I-N-A, source, S-O-U-R-C-E, .org. So go to chinasource.org today and learn a lot more about what God is doing in the nation of China. Furthermore, if you would like a copy of Brent's book, China's Urban Christians, all you have to do to get a free copy, signed by Brent, is email me today, mark@markaswallow.com. I'll spell that as well, Mark, M-A-R-K, at M-A-R-K-A-S-W-A-L-L-O-W.com. Or you can write to my P.O. Box address, God is P.O. Box 802, Winchester, Massachusetts, 01890. That's God is P.O. Box 802, Winchester, Massachusetts, 01890. And all of these addresses will be repeated, as always, at the end today. So, Brent, you're going to sign 10 copies, right, for those who want them?
That's right, Mark.
Friends, you can get this book on Amazon.com, but why not write to me today and get a free copy? You will enjoy reading Brent's book, and we're going to talk more about that in the days ahead. But yesterday when we left off, Brent, we were talking about how God has recently revealed himself to you through his word, and you mentioned the Old Testament book of the Chronicles. You want to say more about that?
That's right. I've been reading about these kings whose lives are recorded in Chronicles, and the good kings, I think one of the common threads there was that when they realized what God wanted them to do, they restored worship to Israel, to the people of God. Israel continued to fall into idolatry and to abandon the temple worship that God had ordained for them through Moses. But the good kings realized that they needed to bring the people back to God, and so they would clean up the temple and restore the priesthood and institute again the festivals throughout the year that God had ordained for them, and in that way bring the people back to God. And when they did that, God would bless them. They would prosper again. They would realize God's promises fulfilled in their lives. But it all started with restoring worship. And I think as Christians, it says a lot to us about how easy it is for us to follow after various idols in our lives, to get distracted, to get pulled away by other things. And God often reminds us we need to restore worship because that's where it begins. It's a matter of our hearts, yielding ourselves to God, acknowledging who he is, bringing ourselves before him. And it's only when we get to that place that we can really understand and receive his promises that he has for us, to really receive all the blessing that he wants to pour out on us as his people.
Indeed, there is only one God. He is the God of the Bible, and we do want to worship him. He commands our worship.
He does.
He expects and anticipates our worship. You know, I want to invite any of you listening today who do not know the God of the Bible through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to also drop me a note today so that I can tell you more about who Jesus is, because it is through Jesus that we know God. Jesus is God in human flesh, and he is the Lord, the Master, and the Savior from sin for both Brent and myself. And so, Brent, thank you so much for your testimony. Now, I know from firsthand experience that you are a gifted teacher of the Bible. And I wanted to ask, what's your favorite part of the scriptures to teach and why?
Well, one of the books that I keep coming back to over the years is Nehemiah. And there's a lot there. We often think of Nehemiah as a great manager. And people use Nehemiah teaching about leadership. And certainly that's there. And in spades, he is a great manager and a great leader. But if you look at the first chapter, it's where it all begins. And as I said in the last episode of our program, Mark, but God's story is revealed throughout Scripture, and it is a continuing story from Genesis to Revelation. And when you read in Nehemiah chapter 1, Nehemiah is an exile of the Jews. They've been sent away to Babylon, and he's become a official in a pagan kingdom. He's got a nice job. He's working for the king. And he receives visitors from home, from Jerusalem, and he asks them, well, how are things going? And they tell Nehemiah, well, things are not doing very well at all. We're in trouble here. And Nehemiah's response to that is a visceral response. He sits down, he fasts, he prays, he mourns for days. And it's always struck me that he had such a strong response to that news from his homeland. I mean, he's a long way from them. He could just say, well, that's too bad. I'm here. I have a nice job in this castle where I work, and God bless you guys. I'm not going anywhere. But that wasn't his response. So he sits down, he mourns, and then he prays. And we see in Nehemiah's prayer how he understands God's story, because he begins in his prayer to unpack how God had dealt with Israel from the beginning and how Israel had dishonored God and turned away from him, and that's why they're in exile. And then he grabs onto the promise. But God, you've promised that you would restore your people. And that's what we're looking forward to. And so Nehemiah saw himself right in the middle of God's story. And because he saw himself in the middle of God's story, his response to that question had to be a response of the heart. It had to change his life. And then from that point on, throughout the book of Nehemiah, you see what that meant for him, because he understood his role in the middle of God's story.
And there's so much application, practical application, isn't there, for us as Christians today?
Yes, there is.
In other words, what you read about all those centuries ago in the life of Nehemiah, deep into the heart of the Old Testament, is as applicable to us today as if it just happened.
It is, if we're willing to one, like Nehemiah, ask questions and allow God to speak to us. And two, if we're willing to recognize that our lives are not just haphazard. The things that happen to us but day by day are not just random, but they're part of God's bigger plan. And until we understand how we fit into that much bigger story of God, we're lost. We're aimless. Our lives can go by without a lot of meaning. Once we understand ourselves in that larger context, our lives take on entirely new meaning.
Has that study that you've done in the book of Nehemiah helped you personally to understand God at work in your life, in your marriage to Jasmine, in your ministry life as well?
It certainly has, because we all encounter things in our lives that don't seem to make sense. Difficulties, sometimes suffering, setbacks, relationship issues, all of those things can leave us wondering, well, what, you know, does God really care? What's God doing with all this? It's like Nehemiah. You know, he's in exile. Why did that happen? He could really have been complaining about that. But he understood that that exile was part of God's bigger plan, and therefore it gave him meaning. And for me as well, personally, understanding that even these negative things in my life, the things that cause heartache and pain sometimes, are part of a bigger plan. And God's going to use those to steer me along the path that he has for me, to bring me into the next chapter of what he has for me in my life, if I'm open to that and allow him to do that.
Indeed. And friends, what a great reminder to us from Brent today about how God reveals himself through his written word. And I would encourage you to read the Old Testament book of Nehemiah. It's not too long. It's readable. You can pick up your copy of God's word today. Just go to the table of contents, look for Nehemiah, and open to chapter 1 and begin reading, and much of what Brent has said, I'm sure, will be something that you can relate to as well. I told you Brent was a good Bible teacher. Hey, how about we have him come back sometime and teach you God's Word right here on God Is? Or perhaps, Brent, we could do that in a discussion format in the future.
I'd love to do that, Mark.
That would be great. Well, there's so much to get to. The clock keeps ticking. So let me just also ask you this, because I'm so interested in this. I think the listeners will be as well. What verses have meant the most to you in your life?
Well, there's two. One is Ephesians 3:20-21, which talks about the God who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. When I first went to came here to Hong Kong in the mid-'80s, God gave me that passage, those verses, as I realized that what God was doing in China was way beyond anything that anybody could have asked or imagined. And he was being glorified in Christ Jesus and in the church. And it was happening. And that passage says that God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. And so that same power that was doing amazing things within the church in China is also at work in the lives of all of us, in the life of every believer. And certainly as I've gotten involved in China over the years, I've seen that verse fulfilled many, many, many times. I would say as I've traveled in and out of the mainland in the last 15 years, there has not been one trip where I haven't seen believers doing things in China, which I would have said, you can't do that in China. But yet they were doing them. Mm. They were doing what people could not have asked or imagined, but it was happening. God was glorified in his church. And so those verses have really shaped, I think, my understanding of God's working in China.
Isn't that amazing? Ephesians 3, verses 20 to 21. So Brent's given you something to think about from Nehemiah in the Old Testament and from Ephesians in the New Testament. You could read that text today as well, Ephesians 3, 20 to 21. One Lord, one God, King of the universe, the same God that we worship in New England, we worship in China. And when you come back tomorrow, friends, we're going to continue our discussion with Dr. Brent Fulton, president of China Source here on God Is. And we are going to get into his book, China's Urban Christians, and we're going to talk about the church in China. So join me again tomorrow for God Is.